Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Gearing up for a 6 p.m. kickoff of your Houston Texans versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers here in the great city of Houston. NRG Stadium, it's Liberty Whiteout. Make sure that you're ready, that you're loud, that you're early in order to see that one kick
Please
off.
Wear your white, too.
Wear your white.
I learned that a couple years ago when the Menares was out there tailgating.
Oh, they'll get after you.
No, I had a red shirt on.
Oh,
it was just a Texan shirt. And I seen it. I'm like, hey, how y'all feel being out here? Hannah was like, you're wearing the wrong color. She was like, for real, too.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you're wearing the wrong color.
What's the matter with you, Figgy?
I'm like, oh, I just put on a damn Texan shirt, man. I thought I was good.
Yeah.
Wear white.
See, I'm not going to get – I don't need no more problems from Cal and Hannah. They already out here pranking me and stuff. I don't need no more
Call me out in front of the you-know-what.
That's right. Oh, now you're going to censor it?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I do it just in case.
Appreciate
I don't want to overuse it.
Fair. Fair enough. Texans win because Texans lose because what's going to factor in? What are the matchups to watch within this game that will determine whether the Houston Texans end tonight – with a 1-1 victory or an 0-2 victory. 713-572-4610. Remember, we were just letting it be known that Jakob Johnson, the fullback, will be elevated from the practice squad for the second straight week. And so we will see him maybe factor into what's happening possibly with this run game. I do wonder, maybe not directly with the pass game, but I do wonder if he will kind of end up in that position of a tight end, maybe in the stead of Cade Stover while he's, you know, out with his injury.
Look, a lot of times when we talk about win because, lose because, I often in my mind try to think, all right, what's the one thing? Like, what's the one thing that they will they will win if they do this? Or
don't turn the ball
or
over.
Or they'll lose. Yeah, see,
don't get the negative yards.
Yeah, and I try to stay away from the cliche, coach speak stuff.
Limit the penalties.
I
but that might be a legit one.
Well, that's why I said that, because I say all that to say this. I really think, you know, even if the run game is just like it was last week, hell, even if the passing game is just like it was last week. Sorry, Figgy. If you don't have that many penalties and set yourself back, you might just win no matter what. You might just win.
You would definitely have a chance.
Yeah. That was brutal. That was brutal.
Maybe. There's still a lot to be seen from this offense.
Yeah, I think if you stay away from the third and longs,
and that's part of
it, would make it a lot easier than it was before.
Oh, and trust me, there are options that I was considering here.
It'll make it easier, but and I feel like such a jerk saying it. I'm still not convinced that they get a third and two, and they're definitely picking that up.
No, that's what I'm saying. There are a lot of options here that I was okay. This one thing. The one thing might have been something else. Might have been the run game.
No, and there's a lot, and that's the whole reason why we have the full segment as opposed to just coming in, saying something, and then ending the segment, right? We go through all of it. But, I mean, you talk about, all right, we don't end up with the penalties. Does that mean you're not going to stall out still in the
record? No, I get it.
That feels like that's going to be a question that we did not get too heavy into early. But, I mean, that's a possibility that it becomes a frustration again is you remember when we were spending a whole, quarter of the season in the middle of the year, like, will they score in the red zone? Will they score in the fourth quarter? Like, these are things that it seems like still remain with this team that I want to see figured out. But obviously, especially with if you are going to remain relatively conservative in your offensive approach, you got to stay on schedule. So you're right. That absolutely is going to be there. How about a name that we have not talked about a lot, but obviously rings heavily because in his very first game in the NFL, he scored not one but two touchdowns, something that's not very frequent. It's Emeka Ogbuka, who very much profiles as being the guy who has an opportunity to attack the spot that it felt like was attacked very well, or at least as well as anybody did with the Rams in week one. Emeka Ogbuka is a guy who's going to be in the slot, who's going to be utilized a lot. He had four catches on six targets last week, and he had a lot of stuff over the middle of the field. This is going to call Petrie into action. It's going to call the linebackers into action. It's going to see how well the middle of the field is taken care of in week two of the season.
Boy, that's a good one.
Texans.
That is a really good one. They benefit a little bit more because Godwin's not going to play. But Mike Evans is still going to play. Mike Evans is still going to play.
Do we think that this is a lock on for Sting? Are we going to see a lot of man defense?
Oh, that's a good question. Because it has all the markings, doesn't it? It has all the markings of maybe being traveling and all that stuff. But we'll see. But what I'm saying is the combination of having him on the outside, having him as a focal point, opens up Ibuka even that much more. And that brings into focus Petrie and Toto and Aziz and safeties, et cetera. No, that's a good one. Now, the other one that I was thinking about outside of the old cliche penalties is actually C.J. Stroud himself. Just number one, I get it. The offensive line has a lot to do with the pressures and sacks. We all get that. But don't make it worse. You know, don't make it worse. Get rid of the ball as you've been obviously coached to do this year, getting rid of it quickly. And don't go straight backwards and make a bad play even worse.
And on top of that, you utilize, and this word kind of means a few things, so I want to be clear on it. Utilize a little bit of tempo, not necessarily that you have to get up, and just go fast to the line.
You mean
just,
up tempo.
I don't know if you need to necessarily go up tempo, but utilize a nice tempo of get the play in relatively early, get to the line so we can diagnose what's happening and help CJ as he is making more of these calls. And obviously Jarrett Patterson will be helping him at the center position, but utilizing that. This was actually Nick Caley being asked on Friday, do you think that the offense can increase the tempo this week?
Sure, I think so. I think there's always room for improvement for that. And I can do a better job, too. Like, we can all collectively do a better job. So that's the focus, is just worrying about trying to get that better and help the whole entire process. And I think everything's connected. So if we all can improve a little bit here and move the needle and just keep being consistent, that's when you'll start to see things just obviously move at a better clip.
Now, huge. Of course, he spreads it around. Like, there's a lot of things offensively. But Nick Caley, like, he's going to be a large part of whether or not the Texans win or not. How much of a game plan offense do we see? Are you able to actually start attacking some weaknesses? Because that's inherent. When you call something game plan offense, it is we're attacking weaknesses. It didn't feel like you had great opportunities of doing that in week one. Week two, it feels like there's some places where you can maybe get.
It does, and that's the other one. Win because, lose because. I think they can win because that happens. Because they do sort of change a little bit of what they are. They're not going to change their
The essence
of what they are, by no means. They still want to run the ball. They still want to be safe and all that. But you do have to add some things simply because the opposing team, the opposing defensive coordinator, you don't want them just jumping routes, going underneath routes, making sure that, first and second down, that they get everything taken care of on the ground game. You gotta make them think a little bit and make some adjustments. And I think that's on Nick Caley. Absolutely.
That's fair. How about this for a Texans win because – they pick up the blitz. Todd Bowles, we've talked about it in kind of general senses that he's a very good defense coordinator. He likes showing you different stuff, and he especially likes kind of exotic blitzes. He's the third highest blitzer when it comes to sending pressure. C.J. Stroud, in this offensive line, they already had a little bit of issues picking up some things. Not only do you have to be on top of your P's and Q's, they're going to need to identify these blitzes that are coming and pick them up, right? Mm-hmm. We were talking about picking up stunts. That's one thing. You need to make sure that you're picking up blitzes, and that also falls on the running backs. And you had some instances where Damian Pierce is leaking out and not helping an Arian Tayorsery on the left side pick, or was it Cam Robinson, one of them who was playing left tackle at that point, pick up the blitz that's coming in off of that left edge. You're going to need to be on your P's and Q's there because, again, when you talk about staying on schedule, one blitz, one sack can knock off your entire drive, and that can knock off the entirety of what you're doing here, at least with the way that this offense is right now. You're going to need to be on your P's and Q's picking up the blitz.
Yes, absolutely. And does that affect, the Woody Mark? He's shown to be a good blocker, but it's a little different in the regular season. Is that going to affect Woody Mark's, number of snaps that he gets? Are they going to be trusting other guys more, whether it's a Gumbawale or Chubb or whomever? No, that's for sure. But that also feeds into the other thing that I think and this generally in the NFL, it's not that big a deal, but if you get off to a slow start and you're the Houston Texans on offense, I'm going to be very nervous about C.J. Stroud becoming frustrated again. He's shown some frustration. I think the quick start for this offense, how they, maybe get into the end zone, first of all, but get down the field and giving C.J. Stroud that swagger. I talked about it earlier. He just doesn't look the same. We've mentioned it.
Yeah.
He cannot afford a slow start on offense.
No, I think that's fair. I am interested in that. I thought DJ Bieniemy wrote a very interesting piece about CJ's offseason and how he's kind of balancing his life generally, mm-hmm. especially we saw him really have a low-key second offseason compared to his first one.
Yeah,
after
podcasts and stuff.
Yeah, no, podcasts. Didn't go, you know, didn't see him at Super Bowl and everything. He actually turned down the opportunity to be on Netflix's quarterback show, which is produced by Omaha Productions. That's a Peyton Manning's production company. Like, he's very much kind of mellowed or tried to find balance in his life. But also, it feels like he might have mellowed maybe too much, at least when it comes to the play style. And maybe this is, you know, reading too much into what he's done. But I do want to see some of that. It'd be nice, especially in a game like this where you're at home in front of the crowd. Some of the juice that he seemingly brings to a game, you want to see that show up. I don't know exactly how that is, if that's utilizing his legs or just like making some really incredible throws. But whatever it is, it feels like that energy that he can bring to juice up the offense should be there. Going back to what D'Amico Ryans' question or the question that was asked of him, who kind of is that dude that can be the emotional catalyst? I do wonder if he could be that in that way.
And it's not just that. Obviously, you know, I brought it up because I think he's going to be able to play better and we'll see the old CJ and maybe, you know, have become that catalyst, as you just mentioned. But the other thing that I think is very important, if they start slow and if things don't go well offensively, I mean, we should and probably will have legitimate conversations of just how much does CJ Stroud trust this offense, you know, like this offense, because keep in mind he was asking for and got more control at the line of scrimmage. But is this the offense that he likes to, you know, to really be able to embrace and use and all that? So he needs a quick start, if nothing else, not just the swagger and the confidence and being the catalyst as we've talked about, but just believing, you know, getting that affirmation a little sooner in the season that this offense will work with you at quarterback.
Yeah, looking forward to seeing some more from CJ. From the 713, if the offensive line protects CJ and CJ goes out and balls out like everybody knows he can do, Texans will get a dub. Texans lose because they lose the battle in the trenches. We're talking a little bit about that. Texans win because they ball out. In fact, somebody said specifically, Texans win if they block Vita Vea. Vita Vea is a guy that can apply a little bit of pressure from the interior as well. He's one of those unicorns that clearly can help stop the run, but can actually push up a little bit. This is going to be a real big challenge for the three interior offensive linemen, Laken Tomlinson, Jarrett Patterson, and Ed Ingram in the middle. Are they going to be able to, like, you know, when they do duo, are they actually going to get pushed? Are they going to be able to move that guy, or is that going to go the other way where he's able to not allow CJ to have a place to step up into on passing down?
No, it's very, very important between the guards, the interior three, for sure. Let's also remember, you know, that you have a new center, not Jake Andrews, that's going to be starting, but I don't really feel, we've talked about this, I don't really feel that it's that big a drop-off. Nevertheless, these guys have not played a regular season game together ever, you know, this five up front. So, yes, for sure, that's going to be big.
How about this that came in? Somebody said Nick Chubb starts hitting 5 to 6 yards and wears down the defense in the second half.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And we saw something kind of close. You saw him kind of hitting that 2 to 4 yards consistently, and then it started opening up. I do wonder if that happens again, because Vita Vea right there will play a big factor in that. If you're able to corral Vita and you can get around him, maybe even you run to the outside a little bit with a few more carries than the 13 that he got, do you maybe see an opportunity for cracking this defense open and then really hitting them where it hurts, where you run on them consistently?
Well, I think so. I think Chubb, obviously, we know he has it in him. You give him five, six more carries, whatever it may be, you know, the odds are he's going to be able to get it. And it's going to be huge if he, you know, pops some good 15, 20 yard run or something like that. But the other thing for me is not just, you know, what the run does, but what the run does. I'm sounding like a broken record over the course of the last 2 weeks. You know, the play action to me, I think that's what is going to be so important with these younger receivers, with getting Nico Collins. So it all ties together.
Yeah, someone said if CJ throws more to his younger receivers, I am intrigued to see how that works. Higgins did have a decent amount of yards last week. It just didn't feel like they were as involved.
He didn't feel like he was as impactful, right?
Yeah, and I don't know why that is ultimately, but I do want to see more of that opportunity, because there's that, and then there's, going back to the running backs, the third lowest rushing success rate from the running backs. It just felt like on any given play, they weren't putting in. Also, when you talk about staying on schedule, some of that is on first down, pick up 4 yards.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. On second down, get yourself to third and short as opposed to third and medium, third and long when you run the football. So all of those things really we want to see in addition to getting the receive or getting the guys out there. And then also one of the notes that I was looking at, Baker Mayfield apparently had like a incredibly high rate. About 50% of his passes are in breakers. So one of this is just going to be,
oh boy, something's got to break.
Petrie.
Yeah, something's got to break.
Aziz. Some of the safeties, right? Mm-hmm. CJ Gardner-Johnson, Kalen Bullock. If they look better at patrolling the middle of the field, the Texans win this football game. Because if not, if it's not that, Bucky Irvin didn't look all that great in week one. I don't know if maybe this is the opportunity where he returns to looking to form. But if you can neutralize the middle of the field, I think that you make it incredibly difficult for the Bucs to move down the field. And then it's just which offense scores more. And I think you have an opportunity to really get it in that way, as opposed to having to try and chase down a Bucs offense if you let.
Well, that's a lose because if Baker Mayfield can get rid of the ball, exploit those things that you just talked about, that's going to be a big problem. That was the biggest problem last week.
And you know, one real quick, I'll leave with this one because we haven't talked about it a lot this year. Where's that turnover defense? They did get a turnover last week, but it didn't feel like it was late.
It was important.
Yes.
But it didn't necessarily swing the game early, you know, or get you some points or whatever.
So if that turnover defense gets to doing that, yeah. I think the Texans win because you'll have the energy, the environment in that building that I think should cause a swell and carry you through. So those mm-hmm. are just some of the things. I mean, there's a lot of things that can happen in this game. This feels like so much more of a wide open game, even though it's a 2.5 point, favorite the Texans are in this one. It feels like a lot of things can happen in this one. So this is really a prove it game for the Texans on their home turf with the season, home opener for your Texans. Liberty wide out versus the Bucks.
And wear white.
Do it. And be early. And cheer. And enjoy your beer. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Football Talk on 610 is brought to you by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Sylvester Stallone is back in the original series Tulsa King this season. Dwight faces his most dangerous adversaries yet, forcing him to fight for everything he's built and protect his empire. Stream the new season of Tulsa King on Sunday, September 21st, exclusively on Paramount Plus. All right. Coming up next is when we hand things over to Figgy Fig for the mixtape. What you got, man?
Yeah, man. I got a bunch of crazy sounds from the weekend, the sports it was. And plus, you think Pumpkin Spice kind of made an entry a little too early.
Oh, stop.
Something else is creeping up right there, too.
I swear, if I hear Mariah Carey in this next segment, I'm losing it. Let's do it next.
Yes.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is Mixtape in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. It's your man Figgy Fig holding it down on a Monday. Happy Monday to everyone out there. Texans Bucks tonight at NRG Stadium for a little Monday night football. Mm. I can't wait to get up out there. Mm-hmm. Well, it look like you got something you want to say, Reggie. You always do that little look that.
No.
I thought you was about to say something.
Was he looking down his nose at
yeah,
you?
He kind of did that look like, wait a minute, by the way. Like he was about to say, by the way.
Yeah.
But anywho.
I'm just trying to look. I know that I do a lot of talking without looking at people, so I was just trying to look at you as you was making your point.
Yeah, okay. So, anywho, we'll be out there this evening tailgating and moving around. Just want to give a special shout out to Nusshead Tailgaters. Yeah. Salute to Marty, my guy. And if you want to check them out, they're in Blue Lot 40. So
all right.
The number, little 40.
Mm-hmm. Where the post marker.
Yeah. So check them out, man. And by the way, too, text me where you're going to be tailgating.
All right.
Just kind of let me know what
your cell number.
I can.
No.
I'm about to say, I can.
You can at least hit them on social media. That'll work as well.
Yeah. Just kind of text in and tell us where you tailgating at. Mm-hmm. Shout your tailgate out. Mm-hmm. Let us know what you eating on, too. So,
Ooh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I might stop by at that point.
He's like, wait, hold on. You say you got that?
You got what? I'll be there. But it was a weekend full of sports, man. We talked about it a little earlier. You had some boxing, of course. You had college football and all that good stuff.
Of course, I did.
Yeah, and I got to talk about the biggest game Saturday.
Yeah, gig 'em.
Yeah, I was actually gonna say Ohio State versus Ohio.
How did you not see that coming?
So Ohio State and Ohio was on Peacock.
Can I ask you something about that game?
They call themselves OU.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sure. Do the mascots typically do the OH chant them together in the instances where these two teams play? Because I saw that was it Bucky the Buckeye or whatever,
mm-hmm. yeah.
and then the Ohio Bobcat or whatever, that they were doing the OH chant all the way around the stadium together, and I was like, oh, that's cute.
Yeah,
I've never seen that before, mm-hmm. so I don't know if that was a thing where they all get together to do it.
Yeah,
but hell, they probably was like, hey, it's cool to just be here at Ohio State, so yeah. why not do it? mm-hmm. But and plus, that's like the official school of the whole state. I think yeah. everybody in the state of Ohio root for Ohio State mm-hmm. because that's probably the best football you're going to get overall.
Okay, you're putting on pretty thick, man.
Yeah.
and he's not wrong.
Anywho, so I was probably the only schmuck watching this game.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently Chris Sims and company was kind of telling us a little something too towards the end of this game.
Okay. So Chris and I would miss you if you left, but we would understand if you want to flip over to NBC. Heck of a game going on right now in South Bend. Notre Dame just scored again. Third quarter, they lead Texas A&M 31-28.
No, like seriously, I want to be like, why are you still listening to us? Why? Just go to the real NBC. It's company on company crime. We're okay with that. And that's a good one right there. We know this one's over. We won't be offended. Even my mom changed the channel, all right? My mom, Diana, changed the channel. She just texted me. She's like, we stopped watching the game, all right? So she's watching Notre Dame and Texas A&M.
God bless him. God bless
hey,
that
that's,
man.
Hey, that's 100% real,
yes.
man. Yes. That's 100% real. And the only reason I had this game on, I was actually at an event. I was working an event.
Mm-hmm.
And they had the Aggies game. They had the game on the big TV and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But I just kind of wanted to keep an eye on what sure. Ohio State was doing. Just kind of half watching.
Yeah.
But when I heard that, I'm like, oh, I have a real problem. If I'm sitting here paying attention to this game, yeah. and this game was clearly over. But I'm like, salute to Chris Sims for, I guess, keeping them 100 with
he
that.
He sure was.
Because, like he said, that's company on company crime.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I don't think we ever said anything like that. Just imagine us being on the air. Hey, man, you ain't got to listen to us. You can listen to Mix 96.5. You know, yeah, don't pay attention to us. We're just talking sports.
Yeah.
If you want to go switch to music, switch that station.
Did we mention the when Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce thing that they went to an hour of Taylor Swift music?
I think I brought it up, but no way in hell I told y'all to go switch.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's
nah,
true.
y'all keep y'all butts here. So, yeah, man, salute to Chris Sims for understanding the situation. More audio from the weekend as I continue on the mixtape in the Loop Sports Radio 610. Boxing. It was a boxing match that went on. I did not see any of it. Quite frankly, I was tired. I'm like, I ain't got time for it. I seen people complaining about, man, when is it going to start?
Yeah.
I'm like, nah, I'm out the game. I will watch the highlights. I would do what Adam Silver said about the NBA. I would just look at the highlights.
Boy, that is a highlights-based sport. Boxing is a highlights-based sport.
It is.
Well.
Yes, it is.
It can be, especially in the social media area.
Yeah. Especially.
Boxing is a watch party sport.
Well, yeah.
It is, but it's not a thing because
but
you.
But like for Figgy and I, we were at our homes or we were, you know, wherever we were. I'm like,
I'll
check the highlights.
I did not get FOMO over this. Usually I get some FOMO, but this one, I'm like, oh, no, I'm not getting out the bed to watch this.
Yeah.
I'm good. I would check the highlights in the morning, and I'm sure they'd be all over the internet, which it was.
Yeah.
But one thing that was all over the internet, Max Kellerman. Remember Max Kellerman?
Course.
Used to be at ESPN. Yeah. And
these four things I know are true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Max Kellerman, he was on the call. I want to say he was doing a little commentating.
Yeah.
I don't know who was the PvP person on this match, but
I can't remember.
Here's a little Max Kellerman with a weird but kind of funny quote while this boxing match was going on between Bud and Alvarez.
How much can I exchange with Canelo? When do I box and when do I fight and get my respect?
As the great James Toney used to say, you need to bring ass to get ass. and Terrence Crawford is bringing ass tonight.
Hey, yo.
You didn't pick up on that one?
Funny enough, I didn't hear that live. And to be fair, sometimes I'm like in my own world.
Yeah, you're doing other
stuff. I'm texting my boxing friends and trying to see like how they're what they're thinking about. I'm trying to pretend like I'm some boxing scientist. Well, look at that. But yes, I missed that somehow. That is a wild statement by one Max Kellerman. I'm gonna
I can honestly say I've never heard that one.
I've never heard that. Who did he say said that?
I forgot.
James Toney.
Yeah, let me see. Let me get back to it.
How much can I exchange with Canelo? When do I box and when do I fight and get my respect?
As the great James Toney used to say, you need to bring ass to get ass. And Terrence Crawford is bringing ass tonight.
Yeah, James Toney.
Okay.
Big old heavyweight. Fat dude.
That's gonna go into my lexicon of quotes that I like throwing out there. Sports quotes. You gotta bring ass to get ass, you know?
Speaking of bringing ass.
Hey, yo.
Somebody else is bringing some ass or might be bringing some ass on a date. I don't know if you've seen this.
Wow, you went there.
I don't know. I'm still in the dark. I'm still behind.
I know what you're talking about.
I'm still behind.
So apparently it's a comedian slash podcaster by the name of Theo Von.
Oh, yes.
Who was on the sideline of the Vanderbilt, South Carolina game.
And it's Heisman winner.
Yep. Right. And who is this Heisman winner you talking about?
Diego Pavia.
Diego
contender,
Pavia.
I said.
Yeah,
he ain't no Heisman.
So Diego Pavia, we ain't gonna start this argument now. No. We'll save it for tomorrow. But apparently he had a bet going on with Diego. And if he won this bet, which was Diego beating South Carolina. He promised Theo a date with his mom.
Yes. I don't even want to know what he told me about Diego Pavia's mom either. I thought he was,
what?
That's not a bad. No, it's not like that. It's not a bad at all.
Well, let's hear it.
Tell us. The way that I understand this story is that maybe just give me a nod if this is okay. Diego Pavia wins this game. He promised you he would set you up with a date with his mom.
Yes.
Okay, there we go.
He's a nurse, and I've always wanted to. My goal is I would like to marry a nurse one day, so that's why I think
smart.
He was thinking about that, but I don't even know if I would do it. I don't know. I like being his friend. I don't want to end up being like his stepdad or something, you know?
That would be weird. I got it.
That started from a little bit more wholesome place than I anticipated. Always wanted to marry a nurse, so Diego was like, well, I know that's a tall tale, right? Also, how does moms feel about this? Just like you volunteering her hand.
Yeah.
At a date.
I don't know if I would make a bet like that, no matter what.
Oh, you mean, I don't know. I know for certain I would.
I know I would not.
In fact, you just bringing up the proposition is grounds for me whooping your ass.
Yeah.
You crazy?
He's like, I don't know if you don't know.
Yeah, I'm just saying that tongue is in cheek. But look like he might have a date.
All right, so how does this play out now that they did beat South Carolina?
I mean,
is he going to have a date or is going to be one of those maybe made for TV dates, you know, sort of like. Whatever they go to.
He's a podcaster and all that stuff, so it's gonna be made for TV.
Yeah,
he gonna do a little something. Mm-hmm. So I wonder how serious this date is gonna be though.
And what does mom wear? What does mom wear?
Good for Diego winning, but it's almost like, did you believe you was gonna win?
Yeah, that too.
Right, like who are you betting against right now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you should have said if we lose. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That bet didn't even make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now I didn't understand the bet from the beginning. It's just like you must wanted that man to date your mom.
Yeah.
If you throw something out there like that, and you down with it.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to Vanderbilt though.
Yeah.
Huge win. I believe they broke a 16 game losing streak versus South Carolina by getting that victory.
Yeah.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, as I continue on the mixtape in the loop, Sports Radio 610. So we talked about, I want to say it was like last month, how Pumpkin Spices made an early entry into 2025. I think something else made an early entry to 2025 as well.
Damn
there
it.
There we go.
Are you really doing this?
Damn it!
Are you really doing this?
So apparently, salute to a Costco's in Florida. They already got Christmas stuff up.
Dude.
They already got the Christmas stuff up on display. And we not even in October, man.
So.
It is September 15th.
Here's the problem. I've seen Christmas decorations already at Home Depot. Home Depot has them. At least the one I went to. What is... This is just too much. This is way too much, right?
Yes. Of course it's too much.
Yeah, but it's not even Halloween time yet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's terrible. I'm kind of curious when the radio station's going to switch over to Christmas music. Mm-hmm. Because usually they've been kind of getting a little earlier, too.
Yeah.
Now, at this point, it's way before Thanksgiving. They do it before Thanksgiving. So I'm kind of curious now. Are they going to creep up in October?
Yes. Yes, they are. They absolutely are.
Before Halloween.
Mm-hmm. And the tough thing about it is the Costco having the stuff. I get it. You know,
it's
almost
like lights.
You
want to
buy your stuff ahead of time.
They also have Halloween stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, you buy your stuff ahead of time so you're ready. It's the music is what gets me because it's like, y'all not going to get burnt out? Y'all don't. And you know who's definitely getting burnt out is the people that work in retail.
Yeah.
Because they have to hear the same songs over and over. I'm like, y'all, I just need us to stop trampling all over food's birthday. You know what I mean? Like, let Thanksgiving have its due before we do this.
Yeah, yeah. Somebody that's probably super happy about this is my wife.
She's a big Christmas.
She can listen to Christmas music all year round to the point I think she won it all year round. And she probably going to put the Christmas stuff up early, probably in October.
There are a lot of people that do that.
Yeah. Hold on. So Costco got space for the Christmas stuff, but all the stuff that I need is always up on the top shelf. How does that work out?
Yeah.
How does that work?
You need one of those lifts, like a forklift or whatever.
It's like, y'all got all the Gatorades on the third level, but you got Christmas trees down here? Believe you, Costco.
They got a whole setup ready with the fake snow and the lights and all that stuff, the Christmas tree, and we in September.
Yeah, so the dates are very clear, right? You don't do Halloween until, like, October 1st. You don't do Thanksgiving until after Halloween, and you don't do Christmas until December 1st. This should not be hard. Now, I get stores in November. I'm talking about you as a consumer, as a person. Halloween, October 1st. Thanksgiving, right after Halloween, that's fine. And Christmas, December 1st. Why is this so difficult?
I don't know, man. I don't get it.
But I don't know.
Here we are.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas.
Yep, Merry Christmas. I'll get y'all out of here real quick. Just want to give a special salute to Jessica and Doug.
Hey.
So I met them at the U of H game. They are huge listeners, and they really like this segment, the mixtape, I was shocked. I'm like, really? Because I feel like I'll be getting a little ratchet at some point in this. I'll be like, man, I'm sure some people probably switching the music. But special shout out to Jessica, and special shout out to a guy by the name of Jordan Wilmore. Mm-hmm. Who was training for the local police department out in Kima. Mm-hmm. And I think this is what somebody said, or this is what something said, pretty much said. He's already in an academy, and the department says they'll add extra material to his shirts and pants so his gear can fit. And you probably wonder, why is you bringing this up? Well, the brother is 7'3".
Oh, wow.
So if you in Kima, don't commit no crime or nothing, man, because you got a 7'3" cop. That be roaming around there.
What's the best job for him as a cop?
Undercover.
Oh, that's a good one.
It's not the best in actually going well. It's the best for my comedic, like, you know, value.
Yeah, but nobody would guess, that's a cop because he's 7'3", you know?
7'3", man. Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah. So
I'm trying to decide, do you want to be in the chase with the 7'3" cop or not? Because he's got a long stride, but I feel like you can make it real tough on him.
Got a long reach, too.
Ooh, true.
He could have been like a high price security guard for a rapper or something. Mm-hmm. Because you ain't gonna try no 7'3"
dude. Too? Did you see him?
Yeah.
Oh, is he slim? I was about to say because he might be slim. Mm-hmm. He might just be Victor Wembanyama out here.
Nah, he ain't. Nah, he ain't Victor. He definitely way more than Victor. I know Victor probably like 73 pounds, but this cat out here, it's a big 7'3". The point, I almost went to the stereotype of. Why you ain't play basketball?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I bet he gets that all the time.
All the time.
He probably did.
Play basketball?
7'3"?
Yeah, this is a thing.
Somewhere down the line.
Stereotype right here. He probably don't even like basketball.
He had to have given it a shot.
He went to college off of being 7'3". Yeah. Like, I have, with my own eyes, seen dudes that I look at and I go, are we sure he knows how to play basketball that have college scholarships?
Scholarship.
Because if you're 7'3", come on down. We'll see if we can figure it out.
Yeah.
He probably don't even like sports. But salute to him, man.
And there it is. From the 832. That man need to hoop. We didn't even have to tell you. 100%. All right. That is the mixtape. Everybody's favorite segment right here. 1:20 p.m. on In the Loop on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, I got a question for you, gentlemen and ladies. Do you have a feeling on how this one goes? Because I'm going to be entirely honest and let the cat out of the bag. I'm not sure that I do. 713-572-4610. Let's figure it out. Give our takes on what the final score will be next.
All right. We are very, very close to really getting to football here on a Texans game day Monday here in Loop on Sports Radio 610. We're getting ready to hand things off to the fellas of the drive who have a speedway of a show just the 3 o'clock hour before they, or sorry, the 2 o'clock hour before they hand it off at three to Sean and Seth to get going on Texans pregame, and they'll get you going and hand it off to
the
fellas.
What do you think they rundown look like?
Texans? Texans? And then Texans. That would be my guess. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm right.
It
we'll
looks like they're working hard in there.
They really are. They're putting, look, it don't matter if it's a four-hour show or a one-hour show.
I would have came in at 1:55.
Them boys going to make sure that they got you squared away on a Texans Monday. No, we are in a sprint towards the game. And
hell, people are lining up.
Yeah, people are. Shout out to the texter who texted in and said that, you know, he is lined up for the yellow lot, waiting to get in. And there's a lot of people there from the 832. So that's the thing that I was really encouraged by. A lot of people there getting there early. I saw a couple of people earlier on in the show text in say they were getting ready to get off work. The city of Houston is getting ready to mobilize for this home opener at NRG Stadium. And I'm glad that it feels like people will be there because maybe that'll lean me a little closer to something. However, I'm going to be honest with you, like straight up, I don't know how this plays, and it feels like there's a lot more possibility than maybe other games on the various different outcomes that could come of this.
Would you be surprised if the Texans win easily going away, defense, turnovers, offense, efficient, something along the lines of 31-14?
No.
Would you be surprised if it goes the exact opposite way?
A little bit because of the defense, but yeah, because the only thing is we were talking to our engineer, Andy, who loves him some sports, and he made sure to get in some Astros talk in there too.
Yeah, you did.
He was like, as long as it's not Christmas Day, right? As long as it's not that massacre that you saw. And I'm like, I don't think that the Bucs are capable of that. I think you need to be one of the best, literally the best offenses in the NFL in order to do that to this Texans defense. But outside of that, it feels like pretty much anything is on the table. We know what Mike Evans can get. We haven't even talked that much about Mike Evans and whether this defense is going to be capable of slowing him down or even stopping him, because it does feel like this defense can get to that place where maybe even the best in the league, you have a possibility, a chance at stopping him. But is that this is purely Stingley's possibility, and then you're giving a offense coordinator, or rather an offense, we know what you're doing. We know you're going to be playing a lot of man because you're following Mike Evans. Does that allow us to then push and pull you in ways that you don't want to go? I think that those are some really interesting questions that exist still for this Texans defense, even as I believe in their capability of handling Baker and the Bucs.
I am with you on the defense, and I couldn't see them, you know, losing a game 31-14 or so. I'm not saying it can happen, but, you know, I just don't see it happen. I think that's one thing we probably have a good feel for. But I think the other part of it, even defensively, if it doesn't go well, we're going to maybe compound the questions, you know, in the slot, the questions up the middle of the field, et cetera. I think it could compound itself some of the issues that they have that maybe are long-term. But overall, I think the defense is going to perform. Now, offensively.
Yeah, that's the one.
Here's the thing. I've been saying last week and today, I think they're going to change things up. I think they're going to take a few more chances. I think, you know, a lot of people have been saying it. It's not unique to me. But I wouldn't be surprised if they don't. If they're not just headstrong, like, we are going to run the ball. We are going to do what we know. We're not going to make mistakes. No negative plays. Just eliminate the turnovers. I mean, eliminate the penalties. I could see them absolutely just staying according to what they are, you know? But I don't think that's necessarily the best route.
No, yeah. I think that they probably will be closer to, again, it feels like they just came out real conservative, just generally. And the conversation that we've had time and time again about complimentary having a complimentary team. I don't know that they're going to veer too far from that early, unless maybe there's been conversations. Again, it feels like this offense is more of a brain trust type effort than it is a dictatorship, for lack of a better way of describing it.
Yeah.
And I do wonder, especially, you talked about a little bit of frustration that you seemingly heard from CJ. I do wonder if CJ comes up and goes, hey, it didn't feel like we were effective. It didn't feel like we had an opportunity to counteract negative plays and be able to go and get stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Let's open this thing up. We've done it here before. We've had opened things up and we've been able to be successful, especially with that dude over there, number 12 on the outside.
Yeah.
When we open this up, we can have a good time. So I do wonder if maybe conversations were had and you see them kind of try and counteract and change that, especially against against the Tampa Bay defense that I think can be got to some degree.
Yeah, and I also feel as if the head coach on down, is, you know, especially D'Amico, he's going to have to dictate just how much they open things up, because you know their mantra, you know, from Nick Caserio and D'Amico, those guys are the ones that want to be conservative and not make mistakes. So if this does change, and you try to get the ball a little bit, you know, more to Nico Collins, a little bit more down the field, it's going to come from the very top. So are they going to be doing that? Are they going to want that? Are they going to want to stay true to their plan?
All right. So if you had to guess, more open game or more low scoring game, where does your brain go?
I'm still going to say lower scoring, but I think they are going to, just out of necessity and out of keeping CJ Stroud happy, I think they're going to open it up a few more touches. Absolutely a few more touches for Nico, and maybe nothing crazy, but opening it up just a little bit more.
I'm going to go with the low scoring game myself, with the caveat that, again, I'm still trying to figure out how I think this thing plays out.
Yeah.
I think I go with something akin to what I was talking about last week. I still think that a lot of these factors play in. I'm going with I'm going to mix this up a little bit. 19-14 final.
I think
it might be a little bit wild to call for two touchdowns, but I could see a touchdown and three field goals. So that very much feels like that's a possibility in this for this Texans team.
Well, yeah, obviously, because Fairbairn is so good, but I think it's going to be – we're going to be talking about C.J. Stroud's demeanor tomorrow. You know, we're going to be talking about
– One way or another,
because if it doesn't go well, C.J. Stroud has already shown some frustration, has already kind of looked not necessarily like his old self. If he turns that, we're gonna get that affirmation, that reassurance that he's still that guy. If it goes bad, it might be the start of something that we talk about a lot this year.
Fellas, you hear that? Go ahead and stack your show for tomorrow. Yeah. That's how Lopez is letting you know.
Yeah,
that's how it's going to go.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.